Hello, and you are listening to I'm a Diva podcast, a podcast dedicated to promoting our female creatives in the music industry. So if you are any form of creator, a dedicated participant in the music industry, then we are here to promote you, to share your story, to share your challenges, and to grow together and to have some fun along the way and learn a thing or two. You are listening to I'm a Diva podcast. I'm a GV. I'm a female rapper in the music industry, growing to develop my career and facing challenges and noticing how females are underrepresented. This is why I decided to create this podcast for all of you to listen to and to promote our wonderful females and to be able to connect with others and learn from each other. So I welcome you to I'm a Diva podcast. Hello, and you are listening to I'm a Diva podcast. This is your talk show host, Edgy V, and we're back with another wonderful episode. So this is actually season 3, episode 10, which means that it's the season finale of season 3. And who knew from season 1 that we would be getting to the stage of season 3, but I'm very happy to be here and also very happy to be talking to Francesca today. So she is an award-winning finalist for Afrobeat and Amapiano Best Music Blog 2021. That's music, and copywriter for Creative Diverse Businesses. That's music creative copywriting. She is 31, based in London, originally from Nigeria and Ghana, with over many years writing music and live music festival reviews for emerging talents to DJs, music gigs to festivals for a variety of genres. Modern PR, marketing advice on the blog. She is currently working with Music Gateway, Tulu Presents, AMW Group, Muzo Soup, and artists themselves. Also, there's Wednesday Takeovers, where artists create mini vlogs for her IGTVs where they talk about their music, etc. And she says That's Music is the new Colors X Studios and Pitchfork for Afrobeat and Amapiano, reggaeton to house music, emerging talents and DJs from London, Nigeria, Ghana, and the world. So Francesca, welcome to the show.
Hi.
How are you? So good to talk to you today, and welcome to our season finale episode. Really, really happy to have you. The reason I was really, really happy to have you for this particular season finale, because this particular area or little niche of what you are doing is very unique and diverse. And for me, this podcast is very important to have the diversity and kind of share the different areas of the music industry that might even inspire another female listening, saying, wow, I think I could really do this. You know, I never saw myself as a performer, but I have such a passion for music. I really would love to review music. I really would love to connect with artists. I think that sounds really, really fun, really, really cool. Yeah. So kind of let's start there and unpack about how you got to this stage where you are now and what inspires you to do what you do in this stage of your career.
Well, when I was younger, I studied music technology for A-levels, then music business at ACM for my degree, Academy of Contemporary Music. Ed Sheeran studied there and some other artists. And somehow writing has just always been a part of my life. And I just love listening to music, and I don't know why, I always have an opinion on new songs and albums from major artists. And I thought, why not do new talents, new artists that are coming up? Because I find some of the artists and DJs, some are fantastic and they're just down the road from where you live, or they're local and they don't get enough exposure. And I find some of the major artists or DJs, to me, I don't think they're good, they're actually crap, some of them, and they're getting all that exposure. And I'm like, why can't I just help and do that through my blog? And especially in the last 5 or 10 years, Afrobeat and Amapiano has exploded and become so commercial. So the last few years, I thought, why not focus on that? But over time, just reviewing music has been my, and going to live gigs, just been my passion. And I'm just loving what I do. So
I totally agree with everything you're saying in terms of like the first point that you made was kind of so many local artists, you know, like you said, from up the street, just have such a passion for the music itself and not being huge and kind of like making the name for themselves, where it is important. Yes, absolutely. But it's that stage of kind of where the person knows how important it is to get noticed, that your music matters to even get to that stage. So there's still that like such great consideration to the detail of what you are creating. So
The artists that I write reviews for, quite a lot of them are at the stage where they could get to BBC Music Introducing, or they've been on Kiss FM, or they're part of a festival or quite a major well-known venue they perform at. So it's not artists that are kind of just recorded out of their bedroom. You have to notice that they're invested in their craft and they put some money behind it. So the songs to me have to sound really good and they have to look like they're really serious about their career. But what does sound really good in the music industry mean? Everyone's version of that or everyone's meaning of that is different. So to me, yes, I write about certain genres, but if the rap or vocal vocals blend well with the beats and rhythms, then I'll go for it. I'll write the review. Or if I like the artist or band or DJ and I connect with the song, then I'll write the review.
Yeah, yeah. No, I can see Francesca isn't very easy to impress, that's for sure. Which kind of makes what you do very kind of, the weight of your words holds that value, because you're not as easy to impress, that I can sell for that reason. You've got such quite a criteria of kind of what you mentioned there, or what you look for to actually like the song or actually like the music. So who were the first artists that you fell in love with at the very beginning of kind of even not even getting to the stage of career, just when you first started listening to music? Who was it you were listening to? Who was it that you fell in love with that was like, wow?
Are you talking up and coming artists or major artists? Because that's music actually started quite a while, started at university, but only the last 2 or 3 years has it really become a national brand and really got recognition. Yep. And I'm making it a full-time career. So I've grown up more with hip hop, R&B, jazz music and funk, especially after Afrobeat, because I'm from Africa. But then reggaeton, I've grown into a lot more because it's become so commercial at the moment. Those are the main genres. Mm-hmm. But kind of like indie pop, It depends on the artist. And if it's heavy metal, it really depends on the artist and the song. And then all the other genres, the same thing. So I have to really feel connected to the artist or the song.
Yeah.
Because there are some rock bands that I go, oh, wow, amazing. Mm-hmm. And then there are others I go, like, what rubbish, you know? So it really depends. But I mainly focus on Afrobeat, Amapiano, hip hop, house, dance, electro, funk and reggaeton music and related genres to those.
Amazing. Any names that you could mention that are current that you think are kind of up and coming names and you think are going to do well by kind of your music production?
DJ Holy and The Rizzle. They're Amapiano DJs, Afrobeat and Amapiano DJs. Vintage Gilio, I hope that's how I said his name right. But he's more kind of like Afro dance, Afro beat kind of music. Dominic Simone, she's more R&B soul. Then those are a few. I could send you a list.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. I can add it into the description of the podcast for anybody interested. Yeah. I feel like the names you've mentioned are actually quite familiar to my own ears. So I was like, I wouldn't be surprised if I came across it once or twice, because I would be very much into the genres that you've mentioned yourself. So obviously we spoke about the aspect of the music itself and kind of you falling in love with what is that, you know, that makes you want to be like, yeah, this is a great song. I see it doing really well, and even like writing a review about it. In terms of the aspects, other aspects of a music artist career, do you think do you take these things into consideration, kind of what else besides the music that the artist be doing to kind of bring up their public figure status, if that makes sense? Is that something that you find valuable or important for an artist to kind of get to where they are, that not to be just about the music?
Well, for me, if an artist already has a electronic press kit, EPK, you know, it's like a CV in the music industry, basically. So it tells you about their song, you know, about themselves a bit and kind of how that song came about and the story behind it. Mm-hmm. If they have that, then all the social media links, Spotify links, etc., to their songs and themselves, then if they have a music video, great. If not, even if it's just a live performance video, but the sound is good on the video, it's well edited and everything.
Yep.
Then from there, I'll listen to the album or song and then I'll make a decision. So, because there are so many blogs out there, and you have Pitchfork and some other blogs, but they've been going for years. And I think even though so many people email them about their song, oh, please, can you feature me? I think because they have so many, they'll have less chance of being on those blogs that have more followings. But for mine, maybe I sound very specific on the genres I talk about. Maybe I am quite picky with the artists I choose, but I think I have to really love the song for me to write the best, for me to be the best in my writing, if that makes sense. And the same with live events and gigs. I have to think the band or DJ, like, they're really connecting with the audience. It's like, oh my gosh, kind of experience for me to review them. So the lineup has to be really spectacular. Mm-hmm. And whether it's a major list of artists or they're up and coming, they have to. So for the live reviews, I'll usually watch a few videos of the artist and go, oh, okay. Then I will go to the event and then we'll go from there. If that answers your question.
It absolutely does. I really enjoyed the breakdown.
Go to a different room.
Yeah, go for it. I really like the breakdown. You kind of went from like the beginning stage of you receiving an artist bio and the links and all of that to kind of like the video editing. So I really like that you emphasize the quality, because I do think a lot of starting out artists like really fall short in terms of kind of considering that quality. And your music can be really, really amazing, and yet it's that quality aspect that doesn't emphasize the amazingness of the song, the amazingness of the lyrics or the vocals, and kind of emphasizes that. So I really enjoyed listening to that aspect that you've emphasize. Thank you. In terms of you mentioning kind of, you know, listening to artists and say, well, can you do a write-up for me? I'm pretty sure you've turned down a good few. I'm sure there are quite a few you had to turn down. I want to ask, what was it that, was it the quality of kind of the recording? Was it the actual music? And have you had artists that came back to you later down the line and actually have fixed all the troubles that kind of made you want to say no to begin with? And have you wrote a review for them later?
Because I want to write reviews regularly. And as I get more recognition and more well-known for what I do, I'm sure I'll be writing reviews daily for artists and live events and festivals. Some artists, they'll have all the things I need, EPK, they'll have a music video, all that. But then the song to me is just not good. Yeah. So I'll respond back to them nicely. But then the artists, they will still follow me on social media. So we're not ended on bad terms. We're still kind of friends, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Some of them, they don't look like they've invested in their craft. Even if they've just been going for a year or a few months, they just don't seem quite serious. So there's that aspect why I would say no in a nice way, but would still kind of be friends, if that makes sense. So there's that aspect. Some artists won't work with me because I charge for my reviews. So I find a lot of blogs out there, they charge very little, or the artist gets it for free. And I think if people don't pay for anything in this world, they don't value it. So maybe you can call me a premium music blogger. I don't know, but I charge for my music reviews and live music reviews. Mm-hmm. So
that's great. And the part where I mentioned, did you have artists come back to you later down the line and you have actually accepted their work again because they've...
Yeah, some artists, they've come 2-3 times. Anytime they have a new song, they come back to me. So they must see the value in my work when they pay me. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't do any unpaid work.
I really like that you mentioned that, because I'm a genuine believer that if someone invests any time at all, and if that took you sitting down an hour to write one review, but that took you to get to know the industry for so long and really getting to kind of hone in on your music vocabulary to really get good at what you do to make it a very much more speedy process. That is not to say that just because it took you an hour to get paid for just an hour, where, you know, it's the value of how much it took for you to do it for that 1 hour and do very quick music review, but effective one. So, and in general, appreciating someone for what they do, it's a very important part of an equal exchange of give and take. And if that's an hour or whatever it takes for you to write a review that you're not going to get back, then it's not really fair.
It takes me 2 hours to write a review, only because I'm really having to listen to the song really specifically and really intricately, because there's many layers to a song. If it's acoustic, you may just have the guitar bit and the vocals, but then there might be an electric guitar and acoustic guitar blended with the vocals. And then you really, or if it's hip-hop, it might be a bit of funk music blended into it. So it's not just me listening to a song and just writing away. And then I have to figure out the layout of the review on my website. And then I try and bring out the emotion and character and personality out of the song, and I try and bring the artist into the review, if that makes sense. So I let's say a premium music review, but I'm trying to do the best I can for them, bring out the best in them within the review. And I don't think it's all about how many blogs you're on and, oh, this blog has X amount of followers, I must get on this blog. Yes, that's important, but I think the quality is a very important aspect as well. So I give quality, put it that way. So
I agree. And may I ask, if someone here listening would like a review with you, how much do you charge, if that's something you're comfortable discussing on the podcast?
I don't mind saying, but it might just, I don't know if it'll put put some people off. I don't mind. Okay. I charge £25 for a song review. Mm-hmm. That includes the review. And then there's Wednesday takeovers, which I do on my IGTVs. It's like mini vlogs. The artists will just tell me a bit about themselves, their heritage, the story behind their song or their music, etc. And then for an album review, it's £50. So that's four more songs. Then for live music festival reviews, it's £75. With live music festival reviews, that includes travel. So yeah, if I have to get to the venue or the event. So that's how much I charge. There's a lot more into each kind of section. You have the song reviews, album reviews, and then live music reviews. So I may sound expensive to some people, because when you look on the internet, there are others that are free or charge literally like pennies for reviews. Yeah. But I think when artists pay, the quality comes, they'll notice the quality. I have reviews on Google, on my Insta page, on website, and Music Gateway said, I write exceptional pieces time and time again. So they always come back to me with new artists to write about. So yes, so that's how much I charge.
I think it sounds pretty reasonable in pricing, because like you said, you know, if it takes you around 2 hours to even write one music review, would that be for one song? Or
that's one song. Mm-hmm. It might seem long for some artists and DJs, but I don't think a lot of artists know the value of what a review can do. And if that blog has a major following, that one review could just catapult their career.
Yeah.
In some ways, I'm still fairly new, and my following to some people might not seem big, but I'm getting there to the point. I'm very quickly getting recognized for what I do. And more artists every day are emailing me, or their artist managers are emailing me saying, oh, we heard about you, we'd like a review. So yeah, why not charge for it? A lot of PR companies charge for their services. I do PR marketing, I give PR marketing advice. So I'm kind of on that spectrum with my reviews. So why not charge for it? I'm a valuable person. I believe I'm the best, I'm worth it, so why not?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's important to know your own value, and like you said, value of your time. I think, to be honest, with the pricing that you've mentioned, if you said it's £25 for one song review and it takes you about 2 hours, that's kind of minimum wage per hour anyway, you know? So if you break it down, and I think that's very reasonable for one song that you can go using the review of time and time again. Do you know, it's literally timeless once it's out there. So yeah, thank you so much. So we're going to jump into the part of the podcast called I Am a Diva 5 Questions. Francetta, are you ready?
Yeah, okay.
Let's go. So number one, what's the best pep talk or phrase another diva has given you?
If you don't believe you're the best at what you do in your career, then how will others believe it too? And then never give up. Those are two. Because if you don't think you're the best in this world, how are other people going to think that too? You have to blow your trumpet, you know? That's what I think in this world.
I love that. I absolutely agree. So number two, what do you think the ultimate diva day or night consists of doing?
During the day, I think it's about believing in yourself consistently and surrounding yourself with positive people and people who are at the level you are in your career as well, in similar industries or different industries. So you have people to, I don't know if it's fall back on, to ask questions and everything, to get advice. So that's what I would say. And that will help you throughout every day. That's what I would say.
I love that. Yeah. Thank you. Number three, what is your ultimate diva song that really, you know, gets you in your diva energy?
Savage by Megan Thee Stallion featuring Beyonce.
I think
I'm Megan Thee Stallion in my own way. But because she's very confident and she's just very self-assured and knows what she's about. So she has, her characteristics are her own. In some ways, they're a little similar to Lizzo. They're just very confident ladies and know what they're about. And they're like, I'm the best, you know, kind of thing. So, yeah.
I absolutely love Megan and I absolutely love Lizzo. Like the fact that like, I don't know too much about how Megan got to where she is, but I'm sure she worked hard because she seems like that kind of girl that worked really hard to get to where she is. And she is absolutely loving now and making the most of it, and she absolutely is. But in terms of Lizzo, like, her journey in music was incredible, like, to think so. Like, I find her story very inspiring as well, so I can see what you mean as well. So mm-hmm. Number four, can you describe your ultimate diva comeback?
I think over time I've not felt as confident as I am now. Being a Black woman, you know, you have to work 2-3 times harder than other industries. Any industry in the world, there's a lot of TV programs talking about this, and it's Black History Month at the moment. So I don't believe there's a Black female music blogger out there at the moment that writes about the genres I do. I don't think there's one at all I can think of. You have Patricia Bright, who's a fashion vlogger and blogger. Then you have In The Fro. She's a white female fashion blogger and vlogger. But there's no one like me. So I just think my confidence level, I've had to kind of train myself to be more confident. And then I was always focused on the numbers on Instagram. Yeah. I was like, I don't have 10,000. I don't have 20. I don't have 30. Yeah. But my friend Leanne just taught me, don't focus on the numbers so much. Focus on the quality of your work and the value you can give back to people. So some clients, you know, we haven't like got on per se, mm-hmm. just because of I charge for it, mm-hmm. but generally that's it really. Mm-hmm. But most of my I try and call them friends that I work with, or my followers, I try and have a friendly vibe, friendly relationship online and offline, and I don't want any bad blood, put it that way, between anyone I work with. So I think the work relationship, put it that way, is very important.
Yeah.
Because if anything, I want to leave on a good note, put it that way. So that answers your question.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like it's an important thing to remember, how try to always make every situation kind of somehow into a positive. And I think that's kind of mm-hmm. what you meant by that. And I really like that. So thank you. Number five, which is the last question of I'm a Diva 5 questions. What would be your diva dream? Anything at all? Don't hold back.
My dream is to travel the world and just write music reviews for artists to DJs and live events and festivals. A lot of fashion bloggers and vloggers are doing that already. You'll mm-hmm. see some. They're an ambassador for Dior. They'll go to many Dior events and London Fashion Week. Mm-hmm. Why not me? Do it for music. Let's say I write for Lizzo, but then the festival organizers take me to, I don't know, Glastonbury. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she's done Glastonbury. But anyway, I go to Glastonbury, spend a few nights there, and then I come back home. Why can't that be done for music? I just think, and I think I'll be the first to break that ice, put it that way. And everyone's cheering on females in any industry, and especially a Black female music blogger.
Yeah.
Can you name one?
No.
Can you name a blogger that off the top of your head?
No.
There's so many. I'm sure you can name a fashion blogger or vlogger, lifestyle blogger or vlogger.
I guess for me, I wouldn't say that's my kind of area that would bring a lot of focus to, but I'm sure being a blogger, you do kind of start to take notice.
I'm sure if you researched it briefly, loads of names would come up.
Probably, yeah. That'd be
a music blogger. If you put music blogger, some will come up, but it'll be mostly for rock or heavy metal or hip hop or pop music. I don't think there's a blog for hip hop, Afrobeat, Amapiano. Not too many for house, funk or reggaeton. And those are the genres I love. And that's partly what makes me write reviews fairly quickly. I write the genres I love.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I'm not the biggest fan of rock music. So it would be hard for me to write the best reviews.
For sure. I really like that. I appreciate your, you know, straightforwardness and directness, because I think it's something that is quite refreshing to have in the music industry as well. A lot of people to kind of go roundabouts and kind of mm-hmm. what they want to say. So I really like that. Now jumping into kind of last couple of questions before we wrap up the podcast, what do you find, you know, was the tips, apart from you mentioning, you know, making sure you turn kind of situations around for yourself and always try to end on good terms with people. What other tips and things that you could mention that you're saying you're training yourself to be more confident? What other things you found along the way that you found very beneficial and you'd like to share with anyone listening that might support them in their journey?
I think if you're a person of color or a black person, whether you're female or male, believe in yourself and know that you can do it. There'll be so many obstacles in the music industry. For example, Leanne Pinnock, is that how you say her name? In Little Mix, she's had quite a lot of issues and she did a program a few months ago on BBC Three. Jessie Nelson, I know she's not a person of color, but she had issues with trolling and all that on social media. And then Lizzo's had some issues because of twerking and all that. So I think whatever person you are, just know there are obstacles, but take the positive out of it and just learn from them as well. And never give up, just keep on going. If you have a passion or a goal, just plan it out and work towards it. You'll get there at some point. It might feel like forever. Yeah. And then also don't compare yourself to others, because that if you do that, it just means you're not confident in yourself. You're not self-assured. So that's a few things I would say. And, you know, you can get paid for anything now. You don't have to have a 9-to-5 job. So just find your passion and know how you can monetize or make money out of it. And then voila.
Voila. You
know, yeah.
And you have the wonderful career of Franzetta in the music industry.
But I just think when you see all the different kind of people in the world, It's amazing what some people do, but then they're making 6 figures, 7 figures, £1 million a year. So really you can do anything for a career now and make money out of it. So you just find your passion and see how you can monetize it, make money out of it. I'm also a web copywriter for the music industry and diverse businesses as well. So I'm writing copy on websites. So I also do the music industry, but then there's architecture, hair and beauty, apps, and some other, and African inspired businesses as well. So that's another aspect of me. So writing is my thing.
Now, anything you want to kind of leave the note on before we wrap up this episode? Anything you want to say to any kind of females in the music industry or anything like that, or anything that you just want to mention to kind of leave the note on?
I think especially for any industry, people always want to find about a business or the person on social media first before they do Google. So don't quickly write someone off because of their following number. Mm-hmm. Someone may have 1,000 followers, but then they're the best person in that field. So that's one thing I would say. And especially me, a person of color, don't just think, she doesn't know what she's doing. Kind of get to know me first. And then from there, you'll realize that I'm the best at what I do. And then it's up to you if you want me to write the review for you or not. But don't just write me off because of my number of followings or that I'm a black person and a female especially. So whether you're a DJ, artist, band, whatever part of the industry you work in, just get to know me first. Just send a DM on Instagram or send me an email and then see how our work relationship goes. And then we go from there. Just, you know, I might sound like a premium music blogger because I charge for it. But then in a way, I don't charge too much. But then it's better to get the best reviews than to get many that don't give you value or aren't worth anything. That's how I look at it.
I would expect some, like me paying someone for a service I expect it to be more thorough. So I feel like that's a value and investment in that way as well. So that's just something to keep in mind. Francesa, this was really great talking to you today. And I think you brought a lot of like new light to different areas of the music industry that I myself wouldn't be like, I know of music bloggers, but from being where it is in your seat and kind of getting an idea and kind of the processes and kind of how maybe someone listening interested in this area, like, how do I go about this? I think you answered a good couple of questions. And to anybody listening, I'm sure Francesa would love to hear from you if you have any questions.
Yeah. I'm looking for more artists.
Directions.
Send me a DM on Instagram and we will go from there. Get to know me first. Look at my following number. Yeah. It might seem low, but I'm getting there to get more recognition and more followers.
You're doing it organically and that's a journey ahead. Thank you so much for coming on. And to all our listeners, all of the social media will be available, Francesa and That's Music. So thank you so much. And this is your talk show host, EdgyV, and thank you so much for listening and for our season finale. And we shall see you soon for season season 4.
I'm a Diva podcast launched their Patreon account, so if you like what we do and want to support us, head over to our link and there will be some exclusive content for exclusive subscribers. So head over there now and thank you so much for your support.